Well, it's hard to imagine anything more horrific than an attack by a chemical weapon, which is why last night's news of an attack on Syrian civilians has shocked the world. The Wire's Jordan Curtis.
This week, a chemical weapon was used on the Syrian province of Idlib. With it suspected to be an attack from the Syrian government, it's still unclear who is behind it. Middle East expert Dr. John Bruni says either side have the means to carry out an attack like this.
We have to recall that back in 2013, there was a Russian and American push to disarm Syria of its chemical weapons. And there was a process by which Syria did actually hand over much of its chemical weapon stocks. But we have to ask ourselves the question, well, how much of that stock was actually handed over? Who was doing the auditing? Because obviously on the ground in Syria, there are still weaponized chemical agents that are being used by both sides to the civil war, both rebels and government forces.
Why attack this particular area? There's been a lot of children casualties. There's been a lot of innocents harmed in the process. Why attack this area?
Unfortunately, war is a messy business, as we understand, and civilians are collateral damage in any war. So whether or not civilians were deliberately targeted or not, the fact of the matter is that now the civilians of that area have suffered a chemical attack of some description from places unknown. That in itself is a force multiplier for the people on the ground who actually used it, because it instills terror in the local population, because we don't know whether or not there's going to be an escalation in the use of this awful weapon. In a very dry sense, I suppose you can see from a tactical and strategic standpoint, it actually does make whichever side is actually using it feel as though they're landing a punch against their opponent.
Now, the goal from Western forces and Russian forces is to achieve stability in the region. Is Assad really the best option for that?
I don't think he ever was a really good option for it, but the West has not come up with a good option either. The West's tepid support of the Syrian opposition, which is really a grab bag of a number of different organizations, including some extremist groups, and yes, they're all against Assad, but that doesn't make any one of these particular groups a safe bet or a steady pair of hands to deliver government to in a post-Assad situation. It seems like we're saddled with Assad as the only likely candidate who will want to pick up a very broken and very dysfunctional Syria and reconstitute it under his domain yet again.
CEO of Sage International, Dr. John Bruni. But without knowing fully who is responsible for the chemical attack, where do authorities go from here? Diana Sayed from Amnesty International Australia says the UN needs to take action.
We're not only calling for an immediate investigation into this, we're also calling for the UN Security Council. We need them to desperately act and condemn these attacks and to pass a resolution that will impose measures against the use of chemical weapons.
What is in the UN's power for them to respond to this?
Well, we need to see greater measures implemented. We've seen that earlier this year in February, Russia, with the backing of China, vetoed a draft resolution put forward by the French government that would impose sanctions under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter against any use of chemical weapons by anyone in Syria. So we really need all the international actors to pass this resolution for accountability and justice mechanisms for all those who clearly violate international humanitarian law with the use of chemical weapons. The images that are coming out are horrific, but this is not the first attack we've seen. We've seen the use of chlorine gas by the Syrian regime, and it's only going to get worse if we don't do anything to act now.
Do you think Russia's position in the UN is allowing them to get away with too much in the Syria conflict?
Yeah, it's a heavily politicised deadlock, and the persistent veto power that they are holding is severely limiting any international response to the crisis, hence why we're seeing this protracted conflict kicking into its seventh year and the mass exodus of refugees.
Diana Sayed, Amnesty International's Australia's responsive campaigner, ending that report by The Wire's Jordan Curtis.